Readings from Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the whole Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in swaddling cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby swaddled in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests."
When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened that the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned to their fields, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Nativity by Peter Cape. They were set for home, but the horse went lame, and the rain came pelting down out of the sky. Joe saw the hut, and he went to look, and he said, "She's old, but she'll keep you dry." So her boy was born in a roadman's shack by the light of a lamp that would hardly burn. She wrapped him up in her hubby's coat and laid him down on a bed of fern. Then they came riding out of the night, and this is the thing that she'll always swear. As they took off their hats and came into the light, they knew they were going to find her there. She sat at the edge of the fern stalk bed, and she watched, but she didn't understand. While they put those bundles by the baby's head, that river nugget into his hand. Then she watched as they went through the open door, weary as men who have ridden too far. and the rain eased off, and the low cloud broke, and through the gap shone a single star. For the word in Scripture, for the word among us, for the word of God within us, we give thanks.
One of the things I enjoy most about Christmas Eve is preaching the 45-minute sermon. Let us pray. In these moments, as we reflect on this marvellous story, may we find that it makes its way inside us to our very depths. So may it be. Amen. Years ago, my mother and I went to the small Salvation Army Corps in Queenstown for a night just such as this. It was Sunday and Christmas Eve at the same time. The little congregation was mounting a nativity play by the children of their Sunday school. And some of you will have heard me talk of the way the little shepherds had obviously been told to bow down at the words, "Fear not," for they did so instantly and obediently as if they were puppets worked on invisible strings. We already had had the three kings appear, as the script was the usual mixture of the Matthew story with the kings and Herod, and the Luke story with the shepherds and the angels. So one small Sunday school had already produced a Joseph, a Mary, a Herod, three wise ones, three shepherds, and I was beginning to think that soon we would be running out of actors, and I knew we had the heavenly host to arrive yet. I looked around up the aisle. Three adorable angels were slowly advancing towards the front, and I whispered to my mother, "Here come the multitude of the heavenly host." She turned round too, and we both got the giggles. The young female army officer, who was the narrator, was most displeased with us and frowned awfully at us, which of course only made the giggles worse. A special time can be had surfing YouTube, watching nativity plays just like that one with some fairly spectacular bloopers. As a child, this mysterious symbolic set of stories serving as an overture to the symphony that is Jesus' life, this magical, mysterious narrative captured me completely, as it has the world. There's something about this collection of symbols, the tender mother, the protective father, the innocent child, surrounded by smelly, rough shepherds and smooth, silken strangers, and those angels lighting up the night sky. All of them signposts to what Jesus will be and who he is. A contemplative, born of a mother who, quote, treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. A practical man who knew from his father Joseph what it needed to make a yoke which was easy to bear. A learned teacher steeped in the wisdom of the East and the West. A man of the people, as easy with those who worked the land and tended sheep as with those who made learned arguments. The writers of these two Gospels tell us through these birth narratives that all of this we will see in the life which is about to unfold before us in their Gospels. I want to talk to you tonight briefly about darkness. Darkness also runs through the story of this birth. It's a foil to the glint of gold, the sparkle of starlight, of angelic aura, and the soft light of a Middle Eastern oil lamp. This darkness has many layers, each a signpost to what is truly important. There's the darkness of the Roman occupation. The dark deviousness of politics colours the backdrop of this birth. Placed on stage by Matthew are wise strangers from the East who consult the ruling authorities of the day and tangle with Herod, cruel and self-centred civic leader, puppet of the occupying Roman forces. And then through this darkness and into this night bursts the star. Possibly the so-called Christmas star was a rare planetary alignment, we're told, in the year 6 BC, during which the Sun, Jupiter, the Moon, and Saturn all lay in the constellation Aries. For the astrologers of the time, Jupiter and the Moon together would represent the birth of a ruler with a special destiny, while Saturn was a symbol of giving life. The meaning of the story doesn't depend on either a star or a planetary alignment being true, but the star is as much a character in this drama as any person, and it brings light into the darkness. The shepherds are doing their work in the dark. They're at the bottom of their world, those whom general society would like to keep out of sight and out of mind. Yet they're involved in this birth, which is being written up in such special terms by the gospel writers. Jesus comes not only to the learned, wise, and politically important, but also to the lowly and humble on the edge of respectability, regarded as untrustworthy by the law of the land. And the room where the child is born is dark. You don't waste precious lamp oil on animals. Imagine the warmth of animal bodies, the rustle of straw perhaps, the sharp reek of dung, homely and earthy and basic dark. We, like Mary, need to take the time to ponder the story in the deep, dark places of our hearts. It's good you came here tonight to do so, to take that time. When we have pondered the important in our innermost selves, then we're better equipped to deal with the important in our world. For there's a different kind of darkness in our world, a Herod and a Roman Empire kind of darkness that needs rolling back. We need to roll it back with our weapons of justice and freedom and compassion and courage. We can do that during the year if in moments like this we take time to know our own darkness and let the warm darkness of this birth integrate with it. Much treasure can be gained from the deep, dark depths of this mine of truth, which is these birth narratives. Let me name them. The star tells us, into darkness will come light. The shepherds tell us, even if you feel sidelined and ignored by society, there can be amazing moments of revelation entrusted to you. The travellers from the east tell us, wisdom often appears from a direction you might not have thought of at first. This birth tells us, greatness begins with very, very small beginnings. And it tells us that even if the stable of your life is dark and rough and ready, new life can be born within it. Other sacred truths such as these reside deep in the creativity of the dark womb within you. And there are companions along the spiritual way that can help you access them. You might find them here or out in the field, maybe even while you're watching your flocks at night. A multitude of the heavenly host might just interrupt your mundane day with light and life and glory. So keep watch.